1 tonight through verse number 6. And tonight we're moving on to another church here that is found, and it is the church at Sardis here that we come to see tonight. And the title of the message tonight is How to Keep from Being a Dead Church. How to Keep from Being a Dead Church. I tell you, something that's very sad is to see a dead church. I'm not talking about going by a building that's empty neither. That's just a building. That's not a dead church. Many things could have happened. That building could be condemned. It could have had mold. It could have moved to another place. I'm talking about a church that's going every Sunday night, Wednesday, having revivals, doing everything, and they're dead. That is a dead church. Not the building. I'm talking about people that go in every week and it's just dead. My prayer tonight is that we never get that way here. And we stand on the Word of God and keep us from being a dead church. If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to turn to Revelation chapter number 3. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word tonight. And the Bible says, Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 1, And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write these things, saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, and thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. And thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Our Heavenly Father God, as we bow in your presence tonight, Lord, I thank you for this night. I thank you for being able to study a portion of your word tonight. Lord, there's prayer requests all over this room, and I pray tonight that you would touch them real good. Lord, I pray for the ones at night that has a praise report. Lord, I thank you that we've got something to praise about tonight, that you're in the healing business, you're in the helping business, Lord God. You reach down from heaven. Lord, I pray tonight that we'd be a church that not be dead, but we'd be alive and well. Lord, I pray we'd be a church tonight that you'd be proud of tonight. Lord, I pray we'd be a church tonight, not necessarily successful, Lord, but faithful, Lord, in what you've called us to do. Lord, that we stand on the word and we do what you've allowed us to do in this local body. Lord, I pray tonight for the ones that are hurting, the ones that's lost loved ones this week. Lord, I pray you'd bless them real good. Watch over them. Lord, I pray right now that you bless the reading of this word. I ask you to guard my throat, guard my thoughts. Let everything I say tonight be all about you. I pray that your people would get an encouragement tonight before they leave this place. Lord, I pray they get touched by the Holy Ghost in a mighty way. Father, I ask you tonight to have your will and way. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated tonight. we come tonight, we see how to keep from being a dead church. Here the church at Sardis had a great reputation for being a great church. If you looked at this church and you looked at what they had going on, they was considered a great church. But here as we look into the text, Sardis was it was well-advertised and it had it going on, looking from the outside in. If you were somebody on the outside looking into the church, you would think that church had it going on. You would think that church would be a church that God would be proud of, that he would give a high praise to. But here the Lord said in verse number 1, he said, but that thou livest and art dead. He said there's life inside the church, but you are a dead church. And he called that church that. I wrote here in the notes tonight, Lord, please don't put the title dead church on us at Union Chapel. Lord God, please don't put that title on us as being a dead church. There is hope even though when a church is dead. So tonight, how do we keep from being a dead church? Tonight, how do you keep from being dead? How do you keep from being a dead church member? How do you keep from being a dead church? You know what? A church doesn't die from the outside. A church dies from the inside. A church never hardly ever dies from the scrutiny going on outside the four walls. It dies from inside the four walls. And tonight, I want you to know this. As I read this text, I've seen four areas that we can keep from being a dead church. And I want to share them with you tonight. Number one, tonight, you must rally the saints. You must rally the saints and get everybody on the same page. Look what he says tonight in verse number 2 of this text on rallying the saints. Number 1 tonight he said, be watchful. Be watchful. Rally the saints. Be watchful. 1 Corinthians 16:13, the Bible says, watch ye. He said, I want you to watch. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith and quit ye like men and be strong. You say, preacher, what does that word quit mean? That means be brave. Be brave like men and be strong and stand on the word of God. Watch and be alert when things ain't going right, when things are going dead and things are getting cold and things are getting callous. And be alert and start praying, asking God to move on that local body. Tonight he said we must rally the saints, number 1, by being watchful and strengthening the things which remain. But I see if we're going to watch tonight and rally the saints, we must wake up tonight. You know what? Tonight, before the church ever is completely dead, you know what? They'd be the members of the church will be the last people that see the death inside that local body. Hell, they'll put up with things. They'll let things slide. They'll let things go for so long till they get used to being in that dead state. I don't know about you tonight, but I don't want to be a dead Christian, do you? I don't want to be a dead pastor. I don't want to pastor a dead church. So the only way that I'll be able to not do that tonight is I must rally the saints. I must watch. I must wake up. The Bible says in Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. You say, preacher, I'm awake. I see what's going on. But I ask you tonight, are you wide awake? Are you alert what's going on at the local body that you are a member of? Are you alert of what's going on at people, what's going on in their lives, and that you can help them? You say, preacher, how much more awake can I get? You can get wide awake. Amen. You can get wide awake. I'll never forget one time when I was a little kid. My dad, well, I say little kid, I was probably 13-year-old, 14-year-old. And my dad, he was working night shift on the oil rig, and he had come in and he was asleep on the couch. And I wanted to go somewhere and I wanted to do something. And I knew I wasn't supposed to be going there, and I know I wasn't supposed to be doing what I was going to do. And that's just the kind of kid I was. So I knew he was asleep, and I went over there and I pecked him on the shoulder and I said, hey, daddy. He said, yeah, what is it? I said, do you care if I go? And I told him where. And he said, no, that'll be fine. And he went back off to sleep. Well, later on that evening, as I got home and mom asked me where I'd been, I told her where I'd went. She said, you know not to be there. You know you shouldn't have went over to that boy's house. You know not to be there. I said, but I asked daddy, and he woke up. He said, yeah, but I wouldn't awake. You got my attention, but you didn't wake me up. You know what I got for that? I got my tail tore up for that. You know why? Because I knew better than messing with him when he was catnapping or taking a nap. Hey, can I say to you tonight, a church tonight, we'll get it handed to us if we're not awake in what God has called us to do. We see, number 1, we must watch. Number 2, we must wake up, but we must be wide awake. We cannot be napping or nodding off. We must, because the Lord Jesus, He knows what's going on in a local body church. Look what He says here in verse number 3. He says, I will come on thee as a thief. The Lord Jesus said, I'll come on thee as a thief. You don't know when I come inside of that building. You don't know when you're going to entertain me. So every time that you go to worship, every time you come in this place, we must be wide awake and ready for what God is going to do in our lives. He said, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. I see tonight, number 1, we must rally the saints. I don't know about you, but I love somebody that rallies me and gets me fired up, don't you? I hate doom and gloom. I hate sourness. I love to be on fire for what God's called us to do. Number 1, we must rally the saints. Number 2, we must rescue the sick. All right, we're going to rally the saints, and we're going to rescue the sick. You say, preacher, how am I going to do that tonight? Where do you see somebody is sick in this book? Look with me, if you will, in verse number 2. He says, if you're going to rally the saints, you're going to have to watch. You're going to have to get your eyes open and see what's going on. And number 2, you're going to have to rescue those that are sick among you. And he's not necessarily talking about physical sickness. All during the prayer request, what do we call out? Physical sickness. That ain't only sickness. There is sin sick. Here, this church had got sin sick. They wasn't necessarily physical sick, but they had sin in their life. Look what was going on here. He said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. You know as well as I do right now that you've seen people that have sat on these pews in this same building. And when you looked at them, you said, man, I don't know how much longer they're going to be able to take the burden they're under. I don't know how much longer they're going to be able to take what's going on in their life. So you must rescue the sick. You said, preacher, how do I know when they're sick? How can I tell when somebody, one of my brothers or sisters in Christ, is sick? sick and almost dead spiritually, and they need help, and they need revived, and they need CPR, and they need somebody to come up beside them and clap, pat them on the back. How do I know that? Number one, I want to give you this. We must strengthen the sick. If you're going to rescue them, you're going to have to strengthen them. You're going to have to come up underneath them and strengthen them, help them out, build them up. Number two, I want to give you this in this same setting here. Here's one. Their dedication became cold. If you want to see somebody getting out of fire, they will start missing the house of God. When they start getting cold, they start getting callous, they start getting complacent, other things will take the place of going to the house of God. You say, I don't have to go to church to be saved. Amen. You don't have to go to church to be saved. But if you're a member of that church, you ought to be there. And he said they were dying. And you say, how do I know what somebody said? He said, I want you to revive. I want you to strengthen what remains. You may have done lost a bunch, but I want you to strengthen what's left. How do you do? Number one, their dedication was cold. Their dedication was cold. Half the time they're there, half the time they're not. If you see somebody that's missing in and out, now a 2 out of 4 Sunday ain't a bad Christian, you beware, they're getting cold. They're getting cold in what they're supposed to do. They're getting cold, and then they're getting calloused in what God's called them. So number one, their dedication ain't like it used to be. You ever seen somebody used to be on fire and then just half-hearted now? Can I ask you this question? Do you remember when you used to be there? Well, I remember when I was there. Amen. Their dedication. You say, preacher, that's a sign of being sick. Their dedication was cold. Their passion was declining. Their passion was declining. Not only had they done got to the place that their dedication was cold, but their passion to do the things God had called them to do was declining. Anything they could put in front of coming to the house of God, that's what they would put in front of. Look what he says here. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. They're still amongst us and that are ready to die. They're done to the point they just soon give up and get out. But look here. He said, I have not found thy works perfect before God. I see, number one, their strength, they done got sick. Their dedication's cold. Their passion was declining. And their love for God was drying up. It was drying up in their life. I want to give you some scripture here that's on your paper tonight, and I want to share this with you. Brother James brings this out in the Bible very well. And here we're talking about rescuing the sick, encouraging that brother, encouraging that one another. Here's what he said. Brethren, if one of you do err from the truth and one convert him. If one errs from the truth, you say, preacher, what has he done? He ain't where he used to be. He ain't doing what he used to do. One thing in this church, there are some men in here, and they have told me, preacher, you hold me accountable. If you see me slipping, you hold me accountable. And you know what? There's nothing greater than a man holding me accountable and me holding him accountable. I text him. I try to keep up with him. I try to help him. But there's nothing more discouraging than a man of God tell you, you keep me accountable. And when you keep him accountable, he says, you're getting in my business. You know why? Because he forgot that he told you to keep him accountable. When he was on fire, and he had passion and he loved the Lord. And man, it was a hallelujah time. Boy, keep me accountable, brother. But when he slips back and he gets getting cold and he's getting back in that old state, you know what the first thing he does when you hold him accountable? You getting in my business. You know what? I would rather one of you get in my business and say, man, I see you slipping a little bit. You need to come on up beside here. You need to come back and do the things you used to do than God have to get in my business. I'd rather him send you to get in my business. Say, man, you need encouragement just a little bit than send the Holy Ghost to whoop me. Why? Because I want you to know tonight, when we see this, it started declining. And he said, if a brethren is among you, and he starts erring from the truth, and one convert him, look at this tonight. And what are you doing? You're just trying to encourage him, trying to get him back where he used to be. He said, let him know that he which converted the sinner. Tonight, if you've encouraged somebody to keep on keeping on tonight, it's going to be a battle on your part too. It is. You said, preacher, I'll never have that. Find you somebody that you know has been missing, been slacking, not doing what they used to do, and start encouraging them. He says this tonight, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Let me give you this tonight. Converted here does not mean to restore. Converted here means to restore, not to save him. To restore him. You and I can't save nobody. The saving's in Jesus Christ. But what do you do when you go to that brother? You help him. You hide a multitude of sin. Man, you say, man, come on back. You try to encourage him to get back where he needs to be. He's your brother. He's your sister. And they're becoming dead. They're becoming cold. And you're encouraging them to come back. You're rallying them on. And you're trying to rescue them because they're sick. Converted here means to restore, not save him. And I wrote this down. Every believer, if you're in this room tonight and you're a born-again child of God, every believer is going to need restored from time to time. There's nobody that's in the Christian walk tonight that's not going to need restored from time to time. Brother David Barnes told me a story standing up here. I believe it was Sunday night. It may have been Sunday morning. Told about a preacher that went and visited one of the church members that hadn't been there in a while. And he walked in. And I'm using his story. And if I'm wrong, David, you correct me, okay? Said he walked in. That man had a fireplace standing there. And there was a bunch of coals there that was real hot. And they was burning and blazing real big. And said that preacher didn't say nothing. He just walked in and sat down. Grabbed the little tongs out there. Picked up that coal of hot fire there. And poured it out there and set it down. And away from all them other coals and all that other fire. You know what? That it started getting cold. And started the fire started losing out. And he didn't say a word. All of a sudden he just picked it back up and chucked it back in the fire. You know what? Tonight we're all in the fire. Amen. And we need one another. And when we get with one another, we encourage one another. We can rally one another on, and we can rescue those that are sick. But you say, what else, preacher, tonight? If you're going to do that, you're going to have to remember your salvation. You're going to have to remember where you come from tonight if you're ever going to get to that place that you help somebody else. Let me show you this tonight. You've got to remember your salvation. Look at verse number 3. Here's what the Bible says. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard. What have you received? You received salvation. You received salvation. If everybody that has... I've been here 11 years, all I've been here. But if everybody that's come through these doors is still here, this building right here would have been a long time ago gone. Man, we're talking about 500, 600 people, probably even 700 people. If Sister Missy is here, she can give us a quote on it. The people that's come through this place. People that's come through this place. And tonight, I don't want to see you slip back out in the world and start doing worldly things. Get back out here. Lose your fire. Lose your passion. Lose what God has done in your life. And get out there, way out here. Why? Because it's going to cost you. So what do you want, Pastor? I want what God wants. I want you to stay on fire for what He's called you to do. And the only way you're going to stay on fire and encourage one another is by remembering your salvation tonight. For a church not to grow dead or cold, the saved must always remember how special their salvation is. If you remind yourself what God has saved you from, it will keep you from getting in a rut. If you're always looking at the cross and you're reminding yourself what God's done in your life, it'll keep you from getting in a rut. Ephesians 5:19 tonight, I want to give you this. And if you'll, I got it wrote down, but I want you to turn with me there tonight to Ephesians chapter number 5 in verse number 19. I want to show you this in the text tonight. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 19. And here's what the Bible says as we get into it tonight. He says tonight to remember your salvation. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 19. But let's go back to verse 18. Here's what he said. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Ephesians 5:18. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, what does that mean? There's going to be times you're going to have to talk to yourself. There are going to be times you're going to have to encourage yourself. There ain't going to be nobody around. Nobody ain't going to pay attention. They've done missed that you ain't been here in a month. And you say, well, they ought to know that I was here. It's not a babysitting club. We don't keep roll, who's here, who ain't here. We don't keep that. Why? Because we're all adults. We're accountable. Right? You're accountable. You know where to be. You know where when feeding time is. And he said, there's going to come a time in your life that you're going to have to speak to yourself. There's going to be times you're going to feel like laying at home. Amen? What's going to get you up from there? I got to get up. I got to go. He says, speak to yourself. In what, preacher? In hymns and in songs. When you get in that word tonight and you get right where God would have you to be and you start speaking to yourself and you start letting God move on your life, it'll do a work. And you'll realize right quick that it'll be up to the Father to take care of you and to lead you and to guide you and to help you. And your Heavenly Father is going to do that. But you're going to have to remember what He's done in your life, how He's took care of you so many times. The other night we come home and Kaylee come in the house and first thing she said was when she come in, she said, I need gas in the car. And I looked at her, we all looked, we sat there, was like, okay, man, this is like repeated. This thing happens all the time. And she said, but here's the problem. I said, what's that? She said, when I left for school this morning, my gas light was on. I said, okay. She said, I went to Hamilton, went to school, and drove all the way back with the gas light on again. I said, okay. We on empty. You hear me? We on fumes. And God started speaking to me, and he said, do you know how many times that you can go by the house of God? There's going to be a word preached. There's going to be a hymn sung. There's going to be something that you need that night. And it's going to be for you that night. And you pass by on empty, and you go back on empty. You don't ever get filled up. And as I was sitting there, and she was telling that, I said, do you know that the store in town ain't open no more? You know that, just right down the road, 3 miles, there's no store no more. Yeah, I know it. And her mama was talking back and forth, and they was just talking back and forth. And I said, hey, you know the closest store is 13 miles up the road. You know that, don't you? I mean, we're 13 miles from anywhere. I mean, we live in the country, son. We're 13 miles from anywhere. And you're on empty. Nobody's panicking. They're just like having a conversation. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, whose vehicle you're going in? I mean, I'm having a fit. What are we going to do? And they ain't having a problem with it. They're just having a good time. At the end of the conversation, I said, hey, and by the way, y'all done talking? Yeah, I said, what are we going to do about gas? How are we going to get filled up? And she looked at her mom and she said, Daddy will figure it out. Huh? And God spoke to my heart when she said that. And he said, that's exactly how you're doing me. I'm on empty. I'm going in and out when I want to. I'm half dead. I ain't doing everything I'm supposed to do. And you say, well, hey, it don't matter. God will figure it out. He said, you're going to have to remember what's going on in your life. I didn't let her know this, and y'all better not let her know neither. I had a 5-gallon jug out there in the garage, you know what I'm saying, in the carport deal. I went out there and put some in there, watched that light. When that yellow light went off, pulled that thing down, put it back up, went to the gas store, filled up. Here's her question. She said, Daddy, did you make it? I said, yeah. She said, how could you make it? I said, girl, you, the gas you had in there, you can go Tupelo and back on. Hey, but here's the thing. That spoke to me so, is that not our Christian life? Man, we go in and out. We go right by the store so many times. And we don't do what God's called us to do. We don't get where he wants. Here's what I wrote down. You must remind yourself how good God has been to you. Number one tonight, as we see here in the text, he's talking about the church at Sardis. They was a dead church, and he was trying to tell them, man, you need to strengthen what remains. Number one, you must rally the saints. Number two, you must rescue the sick. Number three, you must remember your salvation. Speak to yourselves. Talk to yourself. Give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And number four, and this is what we fail to do so many times, if you're going to stay on fire for God or you're going to stay scorching hot, you're going to have to repent. You're going to have to repent. You're going to have to repent. If you're a Christian in here and it's been, let me just back up my life. Let me back up. Just stay scorching hot. I know when the anointing's on me and when it's not. I know when I need to repent and when I don't. The preacher don't have to tell me. The deacons don't have to tell me. The church don't have to tell me. Sunday school teacher, nobody has to tell me. You know why? Because repentance doesn't come from you. Repentance comes from God. Nobody ever gets to the place that they need to repent on their own. There ain't enough in us to make us want to repent. There ain't. You say, well, where does repentance come from? Repentance comes from God. He starts pushing on that heart. He starts pushing on that heart. He starts putting you under pressure. He starts putting the pressure on more, 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 more. And everywhere you turn, it's more, 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 more. And anybody that has got to that place where they're sliding back out and they got cold and calloused and they need to be encouraged, you always remember this. Before you ever get to that place that you're trying to rally them and you're trying to rescue them, the Holy Ghost of heaven has already come up beside them if they're a child of God. As soon as they start going the other way, he comes right up beside them. Tonight, let me show you this in verse number 3. He says, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast. And he stuck that little word in there. That little word he stuck in there. And it is repent. He stuck it in there. He stuck the word repent in there. You say, what good is repenting? Repenting keeps you scorching hot. It keeps you on fire. When you repent, Lord, I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. The other night when we was at Broken Lives, I was sitting there, minding my own business, doing my own thing, getting ready to speak, just looking at the Bible. Brother Tony and Brother Brad and them, they've been speaking, man. I was just flipping through that thing. And all of a sudden, a word was said. I went in my Bible, went nowhere, and I just looked up. And I said, oh, That's for me. I mean, he just nailed me. Didn't even know I had that in my life, but it just nailed me. I mean, nailed me right there. I just crawled down in that altar while they were speaking. Just crawled right down in there, got on my knees. I'm just telling you, okay? Got down on my knees, had my old King James Bible there, and I just got down there, and you say, repentance, what all does it take? I said, Lord, you know what's going on in my life. I called out what was going on. I said, Lord Jesus, you know this, and I'm sorrowful for it. And I ask you to remove that from my life. Thank you for bringing it to my attention. In Jesus' holy, precious name, please forgive me. By the time I said amen, I felt angels' wings brushing down beside me, and there's this man just slid right in there beside me. When he slid in there beside me, he was squalling, upset, man under a burden, lost. What if I would have rebelled and not have got down there? Let me tell you how big God is. He was pulling that man to that altar. Somebody else would have got down there, but I'd have missed my chance to lead him to Jesus. You see, sin, things that harbor up in our life, if we're not careful, we can be preaching, we can be teaching, we can be going to church, we can be doing everything we need to do and still not be right where we need to be. But as soon as repentance come, there's one slid in there beside me. He said, what'd you do, preacher? I just slid right over there to him and asked him, I said, man, have you ever been born again? What's going on? He said, I'm lost. Tears flowing down his face. I said, man, you're at the right place. He said, I don't even know how to be saved. Opened the Bible up, showed him how to be saved, led him to Jesus right there. He said, preacher, but here's how big God is. He'd have been saved anyway. I just wouldn't have been there. I wouldn't have been in the labor and delivery. I wouldn't have been able to be there and show him in the Bible. I wouldn't have been there. Why? Because you know what? When a person won't repent, you know what's in his life or her life? Pride. P-R-I-D-E is what keeps you from repenting. Because you say, that wasn't for me. I didn't need that. I'm not as bad as. You always got an excuse. The ones that remain, he said, you better strengthen them. If not, they're going to be out the door. Tonight, as that man gave his life to Jesus, and his name was Andrew. Brother Heath, is that right? I thought that's what it was, Andrew. And John Henry was two got saved that night. That man was standing there. I told you this Sunday morning. He was standing there right behind that pew. We started singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. I said, come on up here, man. If anybody knew the grace of God, he knew it right then. He come up there and grabbed that hymnal and started saying Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. Tears is flowing down his face. He said, preacher, what does repentance do? Let me show you what repentance does tonight. As we get ready to close, let me show you this tonight. Number one, repentance clears your conscience toward God. When you repent, he told them to repent to get back on fire. It clears your conscience before God. It opens up that avenue back where you need to be. It clears the way. It clears the path. Also, repentance clears the path when it gets tough. When you don't know what to do, don't know where to turn, don't know where to go, make sure there's not something in your life that's keeping it distorted. Romans 2:4, and I said this a while ago, repentance comes from God. He is who puts it on our heart, mashes on our heart, tries to get us to where we need to be. Romans 2:4, here's what the Bible says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God, his goodness, leads you and me to repentance. Why? Because that's what we're supposed to do. It's the goodness of God. Have you ever been under the pressure of the hand of God? I'm talking about you couldn't put a finger on it no heavier. Just mashing you down. Things going wrong. Ain't nothing going right. Everywhere you turn, it ain't right. And it can't get right. It ain't doing right. You say, well, preacher, that's just the way it is. Oh, no. For a child of God, that just ain't the way it is. Usually there's something in that life that you know, you say, preacher, no, there's something in that life that you just got to get right. I don't know about you, but I don't want this to be a dead church. I was listening to Adrian Rogers today, and he was talking about the first church that he pastored, that everything was going great. It looked like you took a gun and blew people out. They're just filling the church up down there in Florida, down there where the space shuttle takes off down there in Florida. He said he was pastoring that church, having a heyday, having the time of his life. See, he learned so much. They was astronauts in his church. They were all kind of engineers in his church. They was everything you could think of in his church. And he said it was a growing church. And he said they called him to Bellevue. And he didn't know if he should go or not. He said when he got up there and got talking to them, they had 2,700 people in Sunday school was their average, 2,700 people. when he was being interviewed to be the pastor, they done got down to 1,300. They had lost that many people. They just started falling out, going away. Nobody was there. And he said, he walked in, and he got with the interview crew there, and he got talking with them on the pulpit committee, and they asked him, he said, how are you going to turn this thing around? And he said he thought about a man that was an engineer in the church that he pastored in Florida. And he said he got in there, and he got talking to that man one day, and that man said that they was going to have a flight, and it was going to take off, the shuttle was. And said this astronaut, this guy was laying underneath there and doing some work and putting it all together, getting it together, and the astronaut walked by going to make a joke out of it. And he said, boy, I sure hope it works, whatever you're working on. I sure hope it holds together. I sure hope it does good. And said that engineer rode out underneath there and stood up and looked him right in the eye, and he said, I tell you what, it won't go down on my clock. It won't go down because of me. And Adrian Rogers said, he told them at Bellevue, he said, this church won't go down on my clock, and it won't go down because of me. He said, I'm going to do what God's called me to do. He said, I'm going to rally folks. I'm going to try to rally the ones that's left. Amen? I'm going to rescue the ones that are sick. I'm going to be there with them and help them. He said, I'm going to remember what God has saved me from. And when repentance comes to my door, I'll be the first one to repent. Folks, tonight, as your pastor tonight, that's how we keep from being a dead church. You don't want to go there, trust me. You don't want to go down that avenue where when you come in, the Spirit of God's never sitting down amongst you. It's just a ritual or something that you do. I don't want this to be a dead church. I want this to be a church that God be proud of. Amen? Let us pray. Father, I love you and I thank you for this night. Lord, I thank you tonight for the word that you've given. Lord God, I pray tonight for the ones that's in here that may be there right now, Father. Lord, they done got tired. They done got weak. They done got sick spiritually, Father, and they're tired of doing what they do, Father. But I pray you speak to their heart right now that it's worth it all. Lord God, you're in the saving business, the healing business, the helping business. And Lord, I thank you that you touch this church every time we meet. Lord, I thank you for the kids that are in class tonight. What a blessing that is. Lord, I thank you for the kids we had up here for Children's Church Sunday morning. Lord, there's a crowd up here. Lord, that's only by you, Father. Lord, I thank you for the mamas and daddies and the momos and pawpaws. Lord, I thank you for the ones that still remain here. Lord, I pray that you strengthen us. And Lord, that we always be found doing your will. Father, I love you and I thank you. In Jesus' most holy, precious name, all of God's people say it. Amen. Love on somebody.